Okay, I'd like to build on the perspective on Masechet Avot that we mentioned before, namely that Masechet Avot, specifically Masechet Avot, because it's the parallel to Sefer Avot, to Sefer Breishit, that unlike almost all the rest of Shas, where the particular Tanaim's biographies, their life, their personality, character, experiences are not the point in terms of what's being said. Come to, you have a machloket about, whether or not Malacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater or Chayav. We're not really interested per se in the life of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of that machloket. It doesn't have any impact. But when it comes to Masechet Avot, it's of primary interest. And I like to, we saw some examples of that when we talked about Hillel, right? We did this, yes. Reassure me. We discussed about Hillel, right? Yes? Anyone have their first coffee yet, besides me? Oh, I'm still working on it, yeah. Okay. Let's try it again. Yes, we discussed about Hillel, for example, Elisha ben Avuya, right? And their Mishnah and Avot. We're going to look at today, Bezrat Hashem, one primary example and then many other things surrounding it. We're going to focus today on the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar, which is an incredible, incredible story. I do not exaggerate when I say that as many times as I've learned through this and taught it, and it's many, many times, I get very emotional every time I learn this. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Very, very beautiful. Really get chills. We'll get there. But I want to just introduce it first and then give you time to prepare. But first, a few minutes of introduction before we do preparation. Bakasha. I want to read a Mishnah with you. And I want you to tell me the obvious question, okay? But I only want to hear the obvious question, okay? Not interested in all of those sophisticated, subtle questions that people love to ask. Just the obvious question, okay? Please tell me what the obvious question is as soon as you know it. Shmuel HaKatan Omer, the very first source, Avot Perek Dalet. Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Binfol O Yivcha Al Tismach. Uvechishlo al yagel libecha, pen yireh Adonai v'rab be'inav, v'yishiv me'alav apo. Okay? What's the obvious kasha here? You can tell me what's the obvious kasha. When I say obvious, I mean obvious. What is the obvious kasha here? Yes, Jenna?
I'm really, really bad at this obvious question thing where teachers really teach us all the time. But why is this Shmuel?
What do you mean?
Why is
it called Shmuel Katan? Okay, it's a good question. It's something we certainly want to know. But it's not a kasha. You see what I'm saying? That's a question. That's something to look into, to explore. And it's very important. It's a very important question here. But I'm talking about a kasha. Something that bothers us. Something that's wrong. So, something that, a problem that we have. Yes?
Why can't you be happy when you're angry?
More obvious. Yes. Not saying it's a bad question, but there's a more obvious. Yes?
Like, what are the meaning of the reasons that you're angry?
More obvious. Something we have to ask before we ask any of these questions.
Why is
this
a Masechet
Avot? It's a good question, but again, it's not the obvious kasha. It's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. It's more of a question. But there's a kasha. Tremendous kasha. What's the obvious kasha? What do you mean, Shmuel HaKatan Omer? What does he say here? This whole thing is a pasuk in Mishlei. What does he say? It's like,
If you wrote Mishlei.
Shmuel HaKatan?
That's
Excellent. Okay. No problems. What do you mean? What do you mean, Shmuel Katan Omer? What does he say? This is the Pasuk in Mishlei. Right? I remember many years ago when I was in Rav Salavitch's Chassal Shir, and there would be people Shir for a little while, but even when I wasn't in Shir and just being around YU, I was around YU for decades, there would be people in the Rav Shir who weren't, you know, not everyone in the Rav Shir was such a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And, you know, through a convergence of factors, what happened sometimes, sometimes people would quote things in the name of the Rav. They were just Gemaras, Rambams. It's true, he said it. I mean, of course, in the course of Shir, he didn't only say Chidushim, he didn't only say his interpretation. He would first read what the Gemara said and what Rav said, and he'd give his insights into it. But much of what, you know, he said in Shir was just, you know, quoting sources that everyone interprets, and that's just what they say. Right? And people would quote these Rambams and, you know, Gemaras in the name of the Rav, as if he were the one who was Mechayesh. And it was very, very funny. You didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but on a certain level it was very funny when people did that. What do you mean, Shmuel Katan Omer? This is a Pasuk in Mishlei. You know what I'm saying? It's like very strange. Yeah. I'm not looking for an answer even. That's why I want to first make sure we understand the question, right? Would everyone agree that that's the most obvious question here? Is that what that's
saying? He doesn't.
He's just, this whole thing is just a quote from Mishlei. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, tell you he has a novel interpretation. I was like, he's just quoting a Pasuk in Mishlei.
Is that where his quote ends?
That's it. That's the end of the quote from Mishlei. Everything except for Shmuel HaKatan Omer is in Mishlei.
But does he say something after that?
That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. Yes, Arya, what do you want to say? Buri doesn't quote this pasuk. Buri quotes the pasuk in Brachot and Daf Yud. She's quoting the pasuk in Tehillim Baruch Nafshi. Right. Okay, Beseder. So the point is, and you're absolutely right, the point is, and I'm giving this just as a simple illustration, but it's so clear, it's just such a clear illustration of the Rashbam that we talked about, right, a number of days ago, that every person, the Rashbam says, everyone's statements in Masechet Avot are a reflection of who they were, what they were, what they lived. Okay, Rashbam says it very briefly, but that's the basic idea. You look at this Mishnah, it's absolutely clear, right? Shmuel HaKatan doesn't say anything of his own. He's not transmitting Torah Shebaal Peh. This is a pasuk in Tanakh. The only possible pshat, as far as I see in this Mishnah, is that if you know Shmuel HaKatan's life, okay, and Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, Rav Cook talks about I'm not talking about the Mishnah Avot, but in terms of Shmuel HaKatan's life and the fact that Davka he was Metakein v'lamal Shinim, right? The Gemara Bracha that Shmuel HaKatan was Metakein the Bracha v'lamal Shinim. Davka, because of the fact that he epitomized this idea of Binfal Yifal Tismach, that it wasn't out of, you know, hatred or vengeance, but out of wanting the world to be a better place, that he was Metakein v'lamal Shinim, to have the right intent in, etc. Okay, we're not learning it, but the point is, what you see clearly in the Mishnah is, right, that if Avot were like Masechet Shabbat or Baba Kama or Uksan or whatever, it wouldn't make sense to say Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Just what would that mean, right? He's telling us the pot. It's like saying, if the Gemara would say that, I don't know, if we have a Mishnah that would say that Rabbi Meir says, lo tirtzach, right? It would be ludicrous, right? What would that mean? The point is that Shmuel HaKatan's life, you understand about Shmuel HaKatan, who he was and what he was, this is what he was. Okay? He represented what he lived, what it says in this pasuk. That's how the Mishnayot work. I just want to show you one other example, which is fascinating. We could spend a long time on these three Mishnayot alone. We're not going to, but there's so much to say just about these three Mishnayot. But look how beautiful it is in terms of the way that the person and the statement are interrelated here. Yes, Jim?
So you're saying that because it's so, like, it exemplified them so much that it was as though they said it?
I'm not saying that they didn't say it. They
no,
may well have said it, but
the, though, like, they said it because but, it was such a big part of their life.
Right, meaning that it's not just that they said it as in they made a statement, but it means that they, the person, makes this statement. Okay? They, their lives, their character, who they were. Not just, and again, I'm not saying that they didn't, say it. I'm not saying it. Probably Shmuel HaKatan said this possible, but the point is that he didn't just say it. Right? There are a lot of people who said this possible. A lot of people have learned Mishlei over the years, even taught Mishlei over the years. But Shmuel HaKatan exemplified it. Okay. Next, Perek Aleph, in this particular edition, Mishnah Tetzayin, Rav Gamliel Omer, Aseh Lecha Rav, Vistalek Min HaSafek, V'al Taber La'aser Omdot. You know the stories of Rav Gamliel, this is Ma'ash Rav Gamliel's life, right? Aseh Lecha Rav, Vistalek Min HaSafek, not having gray areas, not having difference of opinion, there has to be one authority. This is the whole story. Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, right? We know the Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachot. We know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and so on and so forth. The clashes with Rabbi Yoshua, how he's replaced from one of his positions. This discussion in terms of what? People assume that he was removed as Nasi. You look at the Gemara, it's not really so simple. Some Farshim point out he wasn't removed as Nasi, he was removed as the head of Sanhedrin. In any case, it doesn't matter for our purpose right now. Point is, the idea of one central authority, not having gray areas, this is what Rav Gamliel stood for. This is what his whole career was about. That's not my point. That's obvious, but it's not my point. Mishnah Yud Zayin. Look at Yud Zayin Yud Chet. We have two Mishnayot. By the way, I should just add that I'm making an assumption here. I have a good reason to make the assumption, but I'm making an assumption which is not the assumption that many Mefarshim make. The assumption that some Mefarshim make, particularly Rav David Zvi Hoffman. Rav David Zvi Hoffman has an analysis of these Mishnayot in terms of the historical aspect. There's a question. There was more than one Rav Gamliel and more than one Rav Gamliel who had a son, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay? So it's a question of who it's referring to. And it's a question of how you understand the whole structure of Masechet Avot, way beyond what we're going to discuss right now. However, I'm assuming, I just want you to be aware, you may come across Mefarshim and you'll say, well, oh, I've got, that's wrong. He had the wrong Rav Gamliel and the wrong Rav Shimon Gamliel. According to some of Farshim, it is wrong, and that is the wrong Rav Gamliel and Rav Shimon Gamliel. But I'm saying this based on Rav David Zvi Hoffman's analysis, which I think is very, very compelling. In any case, not our topic right now. Point is, Rav Gamliel Omer Aseh Lecha Rav, I'm assuming that this is Rav Gamliel Diavna, right? The Rav Gamliel around the year 90. In any case, the Rav Gamliel of after the Chorban, right after the Chorban. In any case, so here we have Rav Gamliel. Next Mishnah, Shimon Beno Omer. Look how fascinating. Shimon Beno, his son Shimon. We're talking about the Nasi, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. The next Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Right, Al Shoshan Dvarim Olam Omer, etc. But here in Mishnah Yitzayin, Shimon Beno, his son Shimon. As if we're talking about some guy, some kid off the street, Shimon Beno. But look how beautiful it is. In the Mishnah, which talks about Al Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omei, we're talking about a world vision, we're talking about the Nasi, we're talking about Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. Mishnah Yud Zayin, Shimon Beno Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Ben HaChachamim, all my life I grew up amongst the Chachamim. Lomatzati laguf tov elashtika. The best thing is sometimes to be quiet. This is Shimon Beno, Rav Gamliel's son, speaking about the experiences of his childhood. right? What he saw happen to his father, Rabbi Gamliel, because he spoke out sometimes when maybe he shouldn't have, at least from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's point of view. But the point is, notice, one Mishnah where he's talking about his childhood and what he experienced and what he saw and observed growing up, it's Shimon Beno. Right? Koyamai Gadal Ben HaChachamim, his name changes. It's Shimon Beno. The next Mishnah, he's talking about Shoshat Rabbi Alam Amein, it's from Shimon Gamliel. Okay, everyone see what I'm saying about the correlation between the person and the statement, right? The person, meaning their life, their character, their experiences, and the person. Okay, these are a few quick, easy examples. We're going to now get to work on a major one. Okay, but mom is a major one. Ah, it's beautiful. But you have to really, you know, the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. Okay? Seder, I will tell you ahead of time, so you won't be caught by surprise this time, that when we look at Mishnah Yud in Perek Bet of Avot, okay, in the first chunk, Perek Bet, Mishnah Yud, okay, I'm going to ask you again, what is the obvious question? Okay, see who comes up with the obvious question. But don't get bogged down on it. There's a lot to see, a lot of fascinating stuff. Don't worry if you don't get a detail here and there. Get as much as you can. Again, don't get bogged down. Try to get as much as you can out of it. Please work on this big box here. It is now almost 9. We're going to resume Bezrat Hashem at 9:45. Okay, 9:45. So please work on this next chunk. Okay, this next chunk. And we will reconvene at 9:45. Please be back promptly. It's really, really important. We need time to do what we need to do. And chaval, if we don't get to do it all together, it's like to.
Can you stop it now?
I'm going to stop it, yes. Of course, you get a ton. Anyone who did not get a sheet, there are a million of them over here. If you want to take for your friend, you can do that also.